My dear brother bishops, brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, beloved seminarians, sisters and brothers in Christ. It's unusual for us to see the preacher sitting in a chair when he preaches, but on the more solemn occasions in the life of the church, the directives that we receive, liturgical directives we receive, tell us that the bishop should preach from his chair, which is a symbol of his teaching authority. And I'd like to spend my reflections this morning teaching the church about the meaning of what we celebrate today. But before turning to Scripture, I'd like to, in a very special way, welcome a new bishop into our community, Father Ned Schlesinger, the man with the red hat but without the mitre, was recently named to be the auxiliary bishop of Atlanta, Georgia, by Pope Francis. Father Ned is from the Diocese of Raleigh, but has been teaching in our seminary as a spiritual director for the past 4 years. So we very warmly welcome him back to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and congratulate him on being chosen to serve the church as a bishop. Bishop Ned, welcome. And having gone through the experience of being chosen a bishop, I assure you he is more nervous than these two candidates are for the priesthood. So. Matthew and Brian, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The Church of Philadelphia gathers together on this Saturday morning in May to pass on the gift of the priesthood to these two young men who will soon be ordained as priests. The scripture readings we have today give us context and understanding what we are doing. Our first reading this morning is from the Hebrew scriptures, from the book of Numbers, and it describes a situation in the life of Moses, the man God chose to lead the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And you might remember, I hope you read your Bible, that it took 40 years of desert wandering before they arrived at the promised land. And because deserts are difficult, hot, and without water and food, quite often the Jewish people rebelled against God. That angered God. And then they also rebelled against Moses, the one God had chosen to be the leader. And that made Moses angry. He was angry with God. And in today's reading, he complains. He says to the Lord, "Why are you so displeased with me that you burden me with these people?" You know, those of us who are bishops and pastors and parishes sometimes feel that way about you. You know. And he went on to say, "I cannot carry all this people by myself, for they are too heavy for me." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Assemble for me 70 of the elders of Israel, men you know, for true elders and authorities among the people, and bring them to the meeting tent. I will take some of the spirit that is on you and will bestow it on them, that they may share the burden of the people with you." And the spirit came to rest on them, and they prophesied. Now, this scripture reading teaches us many things. But I think the most important message I want to draw from the reading this morning is the relationship between priests of the church and those who serve the church as bishops. You know, in the early church, there were no deacons and there were no priests. There were only bishops. But as the burden of responsibility for the church grew and grew, the bishops, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, were led by God to give a share of their responsibility to those who we now call deacons, and a different share of that responsibility to those we now call priests. But together, deacons, priests, and bishops share a common responsibility to serve the people of God, the people God has chosen as his own. We exist for one purpose, and that's in the service of you, in the service of the church. And it's very important for those of us who are priests, bishops, and deacons to understand that. But it also teaches us who are priests and deacons and bishops that we have a relationship with one another, a common relationship in the service of Jesus and his gospel. We don't carry the responsibility alone. We carry it together. And in order to do that effectively, we have to have a relationship that is true and faithful to discipleship in the service of the gospel and Jesus Christ. Do we see one another as brothers carrying the same responsibility? Do we help one another in carrying that responsibility? It's never appropriate for priests and deacons to criticize the bishop. What do you think of that? Nor is it appropriate for the bishop to criticize priests and deacons. And we certainly have to draw people's attention to problems if they exist. But our primary relationship is a relationship of love in the common service of the gospel. And Jesus makes us aware of that again in today's scripture readings. So, my dear brothers, as you accept the responsibility of sharing in the bishop's responsibility for the church, I invite you to always understand that relationship. You know, see your brother priests and deacons as true brothers. Understand that the bishop who shares the fullness of Jesus' priesthood is also your father and your brother. We have to have a relationship of love and support and not one of animosity. We also learn from today's first reading that what we share in our common priesthood is the gift of prophecy, which is an invitation from God to speak for him and speak in his name. Our message is not our own. Our message is his. And we need to submit ourselves in faithful love and service to the Word of God. And we have to be willing to risk speaking the Word of God clearly, even in difficult circumstances. We also learn something interesting from this reading that I didn't notice until this year, and that the care that God has given us for the people that are his own is not only a fatherly care, but a motherly care. In some ways, those of us who are priests are called to be the mothers of the faithful. Listen to the criticism that Moses gave when speaking to God. He said, "Was it I who conceived all these people, or was it I who gave them birth, that you tell me to carry them at my bosom like a foster father carrying his infant to the land you have promised under oath to their fathers?" You know, Moses felt a maternal responsibility for the faithful of Israel. You know, we celebrated Mother's Day this past Sunday, and that's always a special day in our lives because mother's love is a special kind of love. And I've certainly understood the priesthood as a responsibility to love the faithful as a father. But we learn in this reading that the kind of emotional response that we owe our people is the kind of emotional response we receive from our mothers, that we love them tenderly and faithfully with passion and with generous care. I hope your ministry will reflect that beautiful aspect of the ministry that God will give you. Our second reading today is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I'd like to take this occasion to talk about clericalism in the church. The word cleric comes from a Greek word that has its origin in the translation of a passage from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. You might remember the story of God choosing the 12 tribes of Israel, and when they arrived in the Promised Land, God gave each of the tribes a different share of the land. But the group of people who was directly responsible for the service of worship in the life of the Jews, the Levites, were not given any land. Instead, they were told that their inheritance, not land, was the Lord. So their whole life was to be centered around the Lord and the worship of God. The word cleric comes from the Greek word kleros, which means inheritance. So those of us who serve you in the church have one inheritance, which is God. We're supposed to focus all our energy, our time, and attention on the Lord and His work. Now, clericalism is a sin. It's a misuse of the responsibilities that clerics have in the service of the church. I looked it up in the dictionary, and clericalism is described as too much emphasis on the power and influence of the clergy. That's clericalism. Now, there are two forms of clericalism. One form is the form that clerics might impose on the faithful. We think we're more important than you, and we have, because of our relationship, we don't have to follow the same procedures that you do, that we're somehow above the law or above the people. But the other kind of clericalism, which I think is more common today, is the kind of clericalism you impose on the clergy, that you somehow think that the work of the church is entirely in our hands, and you divest yourself of your responsibility for the gospel by transferring all that responsibility to us. Now, whether we are the ones that cause clericalism or you cause clericalism, it's very damaging to the church, because we learn from this reading, from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, that the church, which is the body of Christ, is something that we share in common, that we have co-responsibility for. You don't help us in the service of the gospel. You have your own responsibility to serve the gospel. And in some sense, our responsibility is really to help you serve the gospel directly yourselves. You know, I think sometimes, even the way we celebrate ordinations leads to this kind of clericalism, where we come to think that somehow clergy are more important than laity, that the sacrament of holy orders is more important than the sacrament of baptism. How many of you celebrated your baptism or the baptism of your children with the same kind of glory we're celebrating this ordination today? I don't think anybody did, right? But we believe as Christians that the most important sacrament, which is an encounter between Jesus Christ and His people, the most important sacrament in the church is not ordination, but is baptism, where God gives each and every one of us who are baptized a share in His life. He invites us to intimacy of love, which is far more important than the sacrament of holy orders. And so this reading is given to us by the church, this reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, to help us put all that in perspective. St. Paul said to us, "Brothers and sisters, as in one body we have many parts, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we, the church, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another." You know, all of us in the church are equal. All of us in the church are sisters and brothers to one another. All of us are equally children of God. But God has given each of us different responsibilities. Those of you who are mothers have a responsibility that those of us who are men never have. Those of you who are fathers have a responsibility that those of us who are unmarried and don't have children ever have. All of us who are clergy have responsibilities in the service of the church that are different than the responsibility of the laity. But all of us together are the body of Christ. And as we celebrate the ordination of these two young men as priests today, it's important for us to put all that in perspective, not only to focus on what God is doing with them and for them, but to understand that God is also doing things with and for us in the service of the gospel. So the reason we have such big celebrations for ordinations as compared to baptisms is probably because we have fewer of them, you know, and it takes place at a different part, a different moment in our lives. Also, we're really grateful for the gift of leadership that God continues to give the church. But the sacrament of baptism, the foundational sacrament of Christian life, is the most important sacrament. And those of us who God calls to serve the church as priests and deacons and bishops are really given to the service of the faithful, a life which we all share because of our baptism. Finally, we come to today's gospel, which is once again in the Easter season from the Gospel of St. John. You know, the sacraments of the church are all moments of self-donation, self-giving. First of all, it's the self-giving of God. We believe that the sacraments are encounters with Christ, which mean that there are moments when Jesus gives himself to us. They're not things that we do. The sacraments are gifts of love that we receive, right? And they're always gifts of self-donation. I like the word donation because it sounds a little different than giving, self-giving. Donation generally means, and in popular English anyway, as giving for a cause. And whenever we celebrate the sacraments, Jesus gives himself for a cause, which is our holiness. And then we enter into that sacramental relationship, we give ourselves for a cause, which is the life of the gospel in the world today. But at the heart of the sacramental life of the church is self-giving, self-donation. An example, your marriages, those of you who are married, you know, in the sacrament of matrimony, a man gives himself to a woman. And in the Christian understanding, according to St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, when he gives himself to a woman in marriage, he gives himself loving her in the same way that Christ loves the church. And the way Christ loved the church is he died on the cross for the church, right? He gave himself wholly without limit. And so the sacrament of marriage, I mean, the same is expected of the wife and her relationship with her husband, of course. So the sacrament of marriage is all about self-giving, selflessness, self-emptying in the service of another. In the sacrament of holy orders, which we celebrate today, we see also a sacrament of self-giving. These two men are donating themselves. They're making an act of self-donation to Jesus for the service of the church. They're giving themselves to him to be used by him in your lives, to be his voice when they give absolution in the sacrament of penance, to be his voice when they celebrate the sacrament of the Eucharist, where Jesus so clearly gives himself to us by giving us himself, his body, and his blood. You know, in the sacramental life of the church, those of us who are priests are the sign, the presence of Jesus Christ. And at this moment, these two men, in just a few moments, are going to offer themselves very clearly and directly to Jesus to be used as he chooses to use them in the years ahead. They make a promise of obedience to me and my successors, going where the church needs them to go rather than where they want to go themselves. And they promise to love you after the passion of Jesus Christ, who gave himself in sacrifice on the cross. We here see Jesus saying this to us in this reading from the Gospel of St. John. Jesus says to Andrew and Philip and to you and to me, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. What produces fruit in the life of a Christian is self-giving, self-donation. And we pass from being a little gift to a big gift by giving ourselves away. And that's what the priesthood's about. It's about giving ourselves away in love to Jesus and to His church. And so, my dear brothers, Brian and Matthew, that's what you're going to be doing now. You're making a gift that you'll never take back, offering yourself to the Lord to be His presence in the life of the church. You're promising to be for us, those of us who are members of the church, His presence, a clear sign of His love. And Jesus tells us in today's gospel reading, whoever serves me must follow me. And following Jesus always meant in the church following the way of the cross, which is not, again, the way of suffering, but the way of self-giving and to forget yourself in the service of the gospel. He goes on to say, and where I am, there also will my servants be. You are servants of Jesus Christ, given wholly to the gospel. Jesus promises you that the Father will honor you, and the people will honor you. You're going to be priests. They're going to think you're something special. And you are, because you are Him when you act sacramentally in the life of the church. May the Lord keep you faithful to what you promised today. May you grow in this commitment of self-giving every day of your priesthood. And may your lives bear fruit in the service of the gospel.